In episode one, we reflected on an initial visit that I had to the Central Valley, where we set clear expectations and learned about the value of norms, seating, and clarity for teams that are learning to work together for the very first time. Well, I just came back from a second visit to that Central Valley school, where we met with the guiding coalition or the leadership team for an entire day. The team leads actually reported that there was an immediate and noticeable difference in just how effective the meetings had become. As a matter of fact, as part of the day's agenda, every team lead shared out the standards that they had already identified as most essential. But more importantly, they justified those choices with data. Man, what a difference. You see, it's crazy just how a simple focus on the right thing can make such an immediate impact. And while not every follow-up visit is a success story, we all have to take our lumps sometimes, even Coach Eddie. But these folks gave us good news because in this instance, they had clarity, they had a place to start, and they were not taking no for an answer. And as we transition into today's episode, we find ourselves in the South Central Los Angeles area, working with the principal who is in year one. Imagine this, in year one of leading a site that has recently combined two schools that have traditionally been crosstown rivals. And now they have to quickly find ways to align practices, values, and community. I mean, where would you even start here? Coco, could you even imagine being in this situation?
Ever wonder what it's really like to step into a new school as a principal and try to figure out what you don't even know you do know? It's like starting all over again, even if you've been a principal for years. Today, we're diving into the fascinating world of learning sweeps, a fresh way to look at classroom instruction that's all about measuring learning, not judging teachers. Stick around, because by the end, you'll see how this approach can transform schools and boost student success.
And there you have it. We're going to look at some learning sweeps today, because that's the way we decided to bring this school together. And so I'm going to ask, as always, Coco, can you bring us in to episode two, On
the Road? Ever wonder what it takes to truly transform a school's learning environment and culture? Well, stick around, because today we're diving into how Coach Eddie and KnowledgeBorn are making waves in schools by boosting instruction, culture, and leadership, all with measurable results. I'm your host, Coco.
And I'm your other host, Coach Eddie. And this is On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. It's a different type of podcast for a different type of audience. You see, I travel across the country working with schools to change education and to find better learning outcomes for our kids and for our staff. How is this different? I basically have taken my notes from the many visits across the country and I put them into a journal. That journal is then shared with an AI compadre, and her name is Coco. Coco takes these notes, puts them into a summary, and makes them accessible for all of us. So it's like we're sitting in the room on the front lines as the change is happening. And so if you're a principal, or you're a team lead, or just somebody interested in making a change in education, you've come to the right place, because we're going to show you what it looks like on the front lines. Take our examples, take your own knowledge, and put them into place starting tomorrow. And that is what it's like to be on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Welcome. And welcome. Today we're looking at a different way that we can, I guess, affect change, bring people together and start someplace. But first, I was really giving this some thought. How did this all come about, this idea of learning sweeps? Well, it evolved through a number of interrelated topics and professions. First of all, you have to realize there is a very close relationship between the medical profession and the profession of education. Both of us are in a profession that serves people, that many times can help save lives. But one thing I noticed about the medical profession is that they do these things called rounds. And the way rounds work is, if I'm learning to be a doctor, I walk around with 3 to 4 other students who are learning to be doctors. And in this rounds that we do, we have a leader, a coach, as you will, an expert who will come in, talk to a patient while we watch and we observe. And that's the learning that takes place. Very much like this podcast, you can read a book, you can watch videos on YouTube, but until you see it firsthand, you don't really know the approaches. You don't see the application until you're there in the room. And so the way these rounds work is you go in, you listen to the patient, you observe, and then the doctor comes out and he talks with folks. The discourse, the most important part of these medical rounds, is after you leave the room. And we calibrate, and those students start to talk about what they saw, what they heard, and what the next steps would be. And so we had this bright idea that you can apply that to the health of your school by doing the same thing as you walk through classrooms. And so we didn't want to steal the word rounds from the medical profession. And the other thing is, as you're walking around in classrooms, we have to redefine what these visits are. So many times you have principals who come into a classroom, and what they do is they come in by themselves. And when they come in by themselves, a couple of things happen. Number one, they're not discoursing with anybody. And so they're not challenged. They're not seeing things from another lens. You get what you get, and what you end up with is a report. And traditionally, when principals go into classrooms, they look at what the teacher is doing. And so there, we have the two biggest tenets that we've changed with our learning sweeps. Number one, if you know from a PLC standpoint in professional learning communities, we are shifting from a focus on teaching what the teacher's doing to a focus on learning, which is the verb. This is the verb that schools are built upon. You can teach all you want, but is there evidence of learning in the classroom? And so the learning becomes a community thing that we're going to go into deeply today. It's interdependent. It's interdependent, meaning the teacher depends on the students, and the students depend on the teacher, and the students depend on each other. And it's a circle. And so instead of instructional walks, we call them learning walks, because they're opportunities for everybody to learn. And instead of calling it rounds, we like to use the term sweeps, because what we're doing is taking all that evidence of learning from around the room, and we're sweeping it up into a big old pile, and we're talking about it. And then we're sorting through the evidence and saying, what exactly are we seeing in the room at any given time? And so with that, let's get right into this and see what Coco has to say with her first set of observations this day when we were working in South Central LA. Coco?
Today, we're talking about how principals and educators can use learning sweeps to gather real, actionable data on classroom instruction, focusing on rigor, student discourse, and clear learning targets, all without making teachers feel like they're under the microscope. So, what exactly is a learning sweep? Imagine walking through classrooms, not to evaluate or criticize, but to collect tiny particles of learning, little pieces of evidence that show what students are actually doing with their knowledge. It's like sweeping up all those bits of learning happening in every corner of the room and piling them together to see the bigger picture. The more particles you find, the more learning is happening. Simple, right? But powerful. One school I worked with was really focused on increasing rigor in their classrooms. They'd adopted AVID strategies. If you're not familiar, AVID is a program that helps students develop critical thinking and organizational skills. And they wanted to define rigor in a way that made sense for their students. So we looked at rigor through three lenses: what learning looks like, what it feels like, and what it sounds like. That last one, what it sounds like, is all about the conversations happening in the classroom. Are students just sitting quietly, or are they actively discussing, debating, and wrestling with ideas? Here's a little secret. The verbs students use in class tell us a lot about how deep their learning is. Are they just identifying parts of an equation, or are they applying, analyzing, or even creating with those parts? The difference is huge. It's the difference between surface-level understanding and real mastery.
Wow. The difference between surface-level understanding and mastery. And that is exactly where we start. Because when we're over here at a school and we decide that we're going to start these learning sweeps, there is a couple of things that Coco said that's important. Number one, and most important, is we have to work with the leadership team, with the admin. Many times when we're in a professional learning community, folks are wondering, you know, what exactly do the admin do? Do they ever have collaborative teams? Can they model some of the things that we're having to do? And this is an example of how the administration team, how the leadership team can start to define what do we feel is essential for the success of our students in tier one instruction. And tier one instruction, remember, that's basically what every kid gets. That's the meal that we all eat. That's the 45 minutes of class where students are exposed to this information for the first time. So what we're really doing here is defining what the learning looks like and defining what are going to be our measures. And in this case, Coco mentioned something which was often misunderstood in general. She mentioned rigor. And what we started with in this area of rigor was define what it looks like. Like another word that a lot of people use loosely is engagement, but define what engagement means. Is it an activity level that students are participating in? And so once we start to really define these things, then we can start to say, how does the learning look? And in this particular case, we wanted to start with a laser focus of rigor. But instead of defining rigor as words, we were asking ourselves, and I love this about this principle, what does rigor look like? What does it feel like? And what does it sound like? And see, this PLC process, remember, it's designed to apply anywhere in the area of school improvement. And so we are developing essential standards for tier one instruction in schools. And there's no better way to test the health of your students and the learning in the building than to visit classrooms firsthand and be able to see these things. So Coco, I want you to tell our listeners about how we were able to help this school leadership team integrate this process in a way that fit their very specific needs. What were these essential standards that this team developed for their learning sweeps?
When we built the data collection form for these learning sweeps, we focused on four key areas. First, are the learning targets clear and understood by students? This is huge. According to John Hattie's research, when students know exactly what they're supposed to learn, it can accelerate their progress by 1 to 2 years. That's not a typo, years. So if students don't know what they're aiming for, it's like trying to hit a bullseye in the dark. Second, we look at student discourse. Are students talking to each other about their learning? Because when they do, they're not just memorizing facts, they're thinking critically and making connections. We rate this from no discourse at all, to teacher-led lectures, to students leading their own discussions with the teacher facilitating. The goal? Get to that highest level where students are driving the conversation. Third, we check for understanding. Does the teacher pause to see if students are following along? And when they do, do students actually respond? This back and forth is crucial for making sure learning sticks. Finally, we assess rigor using that AVID model I mentioned, looking at what learning looks like, feels like, and sounds like. It's a holistic way to understand the classroom vibe and energy. Now,
Another thing, the holistic way to understand the classroom vibe and energy. And what Coco means by that is when we think about how classroom visits normally look through the eyes of administrators and through the eyes of teachers, it's often disjointed. It's often not clear what we're looking for. And many times you can get one administrator that basically walks into a room, leaves a note, gives some feedback, and maybe even 20 minutes later, they get a visit from somebody else. And the feedback from that somebody else is completely different. And then we start to ask ourselves, were they even in the same room? And this, folks, is the key. This is why learning sweeps means learning for everybody. Because when I'm with teams and we conduct learning sweeps, we always require that folks at least go in pairs. You never go alone. You see, calibration and discourse are just as important after the visit than what we're seeing during the visit. And so what we want to be able to do is not have confusion over what we saw. We want to calibrate and say, if you saw high levels of rigor, let's talk about what it looked like. Let's talk about what the environment felt like. Let's talk about what it sounded like. What did we hear? And when we're talking about these four areas that are also extremely important, what was the level of discourse that these students were engaged in? Were they allowed to talk about their learning, or was there just somebody talking in front of them? Was there a clear learning target? Did you see it? Did you hear it? Did the kids know what they were talking about? And so this is why it's so incredibly important that folks go in pairs, go in threes. And also, we are very clear that we're not here to just stare at a teacher. We're trying to look at this invisible ball that we call learning. And I do, as a basketball player, maybe guilty of that, I do say that learning is more like a ball, because that ball represents the learning in the room. And that learning may be passed by one teacher to the students, and we see it in the air. It can also be passed back from the students to the teacher. But when things are running best is when we see this ball of learning passing back and forth between kids, the teacher, and kids again. And so we have to be very clear on what defines learning, what it looks like, and most importantly, calibrate the data so that we're sending the same message. There's no mistake that we could make about that. That has to be done. And so now that we have these four things in place, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of the other things that we saw that day.
Now, why do all this? Because principals and coaches need to be in classrooms regularly, but not to evaluate teachers. Instead, they're gathering data to inform the whole staff about where instruction is strong and where it needs work. After about 100 classroom visits, the data gets shared with the staff. Then, everyone, teachers, leaders, and coaches, analyzes it together to figure out the best place to start improving Tier 1 instruction. That's the core teaching happening every day. And here's the best part. This process isn't about blame. It's about collaboration and growth. For example, if the data shows that learning targets aren't clear, the school can focus on making those crystal clear for students. Or if student discourse is low, they can work on creating more opportunities for students to talk and think deeply. It's all about targeted improvement.
Bottom line, I love that. It's all about targeted improvement. And the main thing that comes out of this model with learning sweeps is that we're not providing the traditional individual data feedback. What we're doing is taking this data and we're adding it as small parts to a whole. You see, what we want to do is take the data on the learning targets, take the data on the levels of rigor, take the data on the discourse, take the data on how we're checking for understanding. But what we want to do after 100 visits or so is we want to present the data to the staff, not with names, not with any kind of feeling behind it or bias. We want the whole staff to look at that data through a lens of questioning and inquiry. We are a professional learning community at work, so it should be the whole school that looks at this data. And one thing that is crystal clear about this process is that when teams discuss which of the four areas they believe would most benefit by having professional development and focused learning for a month or two, now we're making progress. You see, the leadership team, the principal is not coming and saying, here's what I want to see in every classroom. No. See, we shared the data with everybody. And everybody gets to look at it. Everybody digests it. And then everybody gets one vote to say, of these four areas, which area do you think or do I feel we will get the most bang for our buck if we all agree and concentrate on for the next month or so? After that voting, the whole group moves forward. And professional development, of course, is now targeted in one area. And maybe I didn't vote for this area, but if I'm one vote out of 100 staff members and the majority of those staff members said, look, we need to concentrate on making learning targets crystal clear, then that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to commit to that for the next month. And let me ask you something. Would you rather be jack of all trades, master of none, or focused on one and then moving on to another one? So many times we sit here and we tell teachers all these things that we need to focus on in Tier 1 instruction, but if we narrow it down to one and the staff has voted on that one thing and we're all focused on that one thing and the professional development and the support is all focused on that one thing, we're going to see growth. We're going to see a lot of growth. We're going to see a lot of clear understanding. And most importantly, we're going to be invested in the work because we asked for it. We did the data dig, all of us together as one community. And so that's one of the reasons we picked this as the first place to start. We bring people together to make the first big decision. But it doesn't end there.
I remember when I first heard about this approach, I thought, why didn't we do this sooner? It's such a straightforward way to get real insight without the stress of formal evaluations. Plus, it empowers teachers by giving them clear, data-driven feedback on what's working and what could be better. Before we wrap up, let me toss a question your way. If you were a student, would you want to be in a classroom where you clearly understood the learning goals, got to talk about your ideas, and were challenged to think deeply? I'm guessing yes. So why wouldn't we want that for every student? To sum it all up, Learning sweeps are a game changer for schools looking to boost rigor and engagement. They focus on clear learning targets, meaningful student discourse, regular checks for understanding, and a rich picture of classroom rigor. And best of all, they create a culture of continuous improvement without the pressure of traditional evaluations.
Wow. And thank you, Coco, for that insight. You know, at the end, we've discussed this before in previous podcasts, and we're going to be discussing this in future podcasts. There's a huge difference between common formative assessments, which are targeted at helping to improve students and achievements and their ability to grow, and benchmark assessments, which are designed to evaluate student performance. And so if we want to provide a learning environment that is rich for students, shouldn't we be doing the exact same thing for our teachers and our staff? You see, instructional sweeps allow teachers the ability to see the gaps, and more importantly, to receive support to fill those gaps prior to any evaluation. And so the common formative assessment for the health of your school is non-evaluative. It's built on a dedication to improving day by day. And I always say this, can we be better today than we were yesterday? And can we actually be better tomorrow than we were today? And instructional sweeps allow us the clarity and the data to do that. Most of all, it allows us to be focused on one thing at a time in a profession that always seems to be putting more on our plates every time. And with that, we're going to end this podcast today. And I'm going to ask Coco to take us out in a minute. But I just want you to think about one thing. Wouldn't it be nice to know that when folks are coming into your room, if you are a teacher, wouldn't it be nice to know that they're leaving the room, they're calibrating, and they're not evaluating you? They're looking for the learning, and they're looking for ways to make sure that the hard work that you're doing as a teacher is paying off. It's been a great episode. We'll see you next time, folks. This has been On the Road with Coach Eddie and Coco. And remember, the mission of this podcast is to bring you onto the front lines to see how we are truly transforming education across the nation.
As always, it's a wonderful thing to have the privilege to use your brain and learn something new. I'm your host, Coco, and I'll see you next time.
And I'm your host, Coach Eddie, and this has truly been a great journey. You have been on the road with Coach Eddie and Coco. Remember, now that you can see it, you can do it. Let's get to work together. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.